Still don't understand that record.
Disco layout. Don't ask me to do that again. Don't ask me. People were giggling. I had so many people come up to me and say, that sounded so stupid. You're trying to tell Willis what discotheque and lady meant.
Yeah, well, you
don't,
know, some
please
of us,
don't even get into it. Don't
some
even.
Some of us just ain't as bright as others are.
Hey, how come we? This is a situation here. We usually all take our shoes off here in the morning.
Yeah, proper feet up and everything.
Yeah, we've never told them that, but we usually do. We just have a lot of fun.
We're unbutton our shirt sleeves.
Yeah, well, yeah, I have my shirt sleeves rolled up, and I can't help but noticing that you have your socks on inside out today.
Oh, you noticed that?
Well, yeah.
Why, there's a reason for that. I was just going to turn one of them inside out, but I figured I better do both on and make it look like a pair.
Well, why did you turn the one inside? The first sock, the sock on your right foot there, the one there, right there,
that
and that's on the end of your leg, that was the one you turned around
for. Ain't I got a cute pinky?
Yeah. How come you turn your socks inside out?
Well, you see, I had to, Jerry. There was a hole on the outside of the sock there, and I turned it. Now it's on the inside.
Now put it on the inside. And then.
That's right.
What a way to start the
degrees. Beautiful degrees here. It's election day, 1976, the first primary election ever held in the state of Georgia.
And it may well be the last.
We
y'all better hurry and get in on this one time only, bicentennial event.
We sent our political election analyst, Willis Caswell, down to an actual polling place, and now...
I didn't know I had a title when I went down there.
Well, that's what you were, as we tell you that. In lieu of money, we'll give you a title. And now his comments, his observations on the polls from today in the primary election. You lick your lips so funny when you do that.
You know, well, I'm trying to get the syrup off from around my mouth.
You really went
hot cakes.
Try to fake it, then.
Sausage and stuff.
All right.
Well,
well, what do you think of the poll? You were down there. You went to the one up in Buckhead.
I was just wondering if you was getting into that ethnic stuff or not.
We're talking about election polls.
Yeah, well, see, I was really impressed with the little booths they have down there, see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you can go in, you can make a phone call in there if you want to or something. Just go ahead and be by yourself for a little while,
I understand.
And all real interesting knobs and buttons and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But just between me and you,
exactly.
If they catch that feller that done that in that booth, they ought to hang him from a tree somewhere. How could he stand there and vote right there?
And do that at the same
right there,
time.
And the curtains don't even come all the way to the floor.
That number. There we are.
Hello, Mr. Ford.
Sir, this is not your beloved president. This is Gary McKee at Quixie in Atlanta.
I was expecting a call from President Ford.
Oh, you are, sir. Well, do you want us to get off the phone then? And go ahead and...
No, Gary. I have more than one line. If he calls in, I will take it on the other one.
All right.
What can I do for you today?
Well, I just thought that I would ask... I don't mean to touch on a touchy subject.
Yes?
But I thought that I would ask your reaction to Mr. Reagan's comment yesterday, or of a couple of days ago, that if he were elected president, he'd get rid of you.
Who did you say that was?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. That's what he said. He said if he was elected president, he'd fire you, essentially.
Gary, you are hearing it from the man himself.
Okay, sir.
He doesn't bother me one bit.
All right, sir.
I am not afraid of that man.
Okay.
I think my position is very sound, and you must remember where the remark came from, Gary.
Yes, sir.
From the very first man who got very ill on the Dumbo ride at Disneyland.
He got sick on Dumbo.
Kawasaki, let's go.
How's the weather down there?
Just fine. What are you doing on top of the file cabinet?
Oh, wait a minute. Let me get down so I can hear what you're saying.
What are you doing on top of the file cabinet?
What was I doing up there? Mm-hmm. I was up there getting my cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your cigarettes?
Yeah, I keep them up on top of the file cabinet up there.
All right, here we go.
That's for real. I keep them up on top of the filing cabinet. Now, I just walk up, step up there and get one.
Why do you keep your cigarettes on top of the file cabinet?
Well, I tell you, ever since I read that that message, that Surgeon General message that in laboratory tests they proved that smoking them things caused cancer in mice.
Yeah.
So I put them up there so the mice can't get to them. Oh, okay. Back to serious stuff. My goodness. Did I tell you about Homer?
So the mice can't get to him.
Can't get
Homer. What's up?
That's my nephew, the crazy one.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a big day planned for today. He was supposed to get married today, but he ain't gonna get married.
Why?
What's the matter with you, boy?
I just got the giggles. Just to see you. People are missing 70% of this bit with not seeing you here.
Maybe we ought to be on
okay.
TV.
So how come they
postpone? Attention, channel 2, 5, 11, 17, 46.
How come they postpone his wedding?
Well, see, they had this big big stag party for him last night, and it was such a success, he called off the wedding.
Gary Lee Corey, Will Scott here. Gary McKee's on vacation this week, party next week, and then I'm split now.
You know, it's something I'm happy about. It's different from you and Jerry.
Yeah.
Is that you don't want to dance to every one of the songs. He wants to dance to every one of them.
He did. Well, you know how he is and what he's on and all that stuff, so let's just move right along here.
I just like to sit here and listen to him. If you get a chance later on, watch. Play that Boogie Fever off at Roy Rogers' new album.
Okay, yeah, I'll see if we have that here.
Roy,
why don't you tell him who the boss of the day is again, Willis? I forgot it on half hour.
I don't want to.
I'll tell him myself.
No, wait, Gary, I was just kidding. Let me read that thing here. Let's see. Boss of the day, Monday, 5/10/76.
That's us.
Day is Dottie Roach. Where your state crime commission there. Director of Financial Management.
I clip that right back up here now. She'll get a $35 fruit basket from the gift pantry and dinner for two at Harrison's on Peachtree. You have so much trouble reading sometimes.
I thought I'd done real good on that. I practiced.
Well, that wasn't too bad, but have you ever had your eyes checked?
No, they've always been blue.
I don't get it. What do you mean? Good morning, Gary Lee Corey here with the Willis Cigar. I'm not feeling real well this morning, Willis.
Oh, my goodness. I hate to hear that.
This big Chinese.
You and Mr. Crowley always grumbling about not feeling good.
Yeah,
you get out in the fresh air and sunshine.
I had this Chinese dinner last night, and I had chicken chow mein, and I ate too much, actually, I think. I kept waking up all night. I'd run into the utility room washing shirts.
All right, mighty fine.
I don't get it.
That's okay.
Did I tell you how dumb Lulu is?
Several times.
I hope she ain't listening. She'll put a knot on my head when I get home. But give you an idea, she's had these two pet chickens for a long time. See?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Lucy and Myrna, who two pet chickens. And Lucy got sick the other day, so she killed Myrna to make chicken soup for the sick one. If you got their microphone on there, maybe we can talk back and forth with Lester. He's kind of the spokesman of the whole group. Lester, yeah, we're going to put
Thank you a whole lot, Tom. We appreciate it.
Willis.
That's right. All right.
It's Willis. Now, look, just wanted to welcome you fellas to the show this morning, Lester, and, let you know that you're always welcome here in Atlanta, Georgia, on W Quicks. You know, hey, maybe the folks out there like to know, if somebody's interested in getting in show business. How'd you get yours starting show business?
You got to go out and work hard.
Uh-huh.
Of course, we got our start several years ago right here at radio.
On radio, yeah.
And we still are.
Yeah. They still there.
Well, we're
they
still
do,
here.
What are you talking about? They do a radio show up home there up in Rainbow Valley where they live.
Yeah.
They do a show up there every week. He was telling me about it earlier that they own on the weekends down up there in Rainbow Valley and all. Got their own show and everything. Lester, what do you do all week long when you ain't on the radio?
Well, I work down at the plant. Excuse me.
Yeah. We're hitting that mic.
I work down at the plant. I've been down there for 19 years, I believe. Foreman.
A foreman. He's a foreman at the plant. He's
good.
Got one executive positions there, Jerry.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's see. Lester, do you ever sing when you're working down there at the plant?
No, sir. Don't ever sing at the plant.
No?
I'm strictly business.
Strictly business. All right. Yeah. Now, these fellas that's with you this morning is widely known all around Rainbow Valley as the Cadillac Cowboys. Is that right, Lester?
Well, here's my band. Probably the best band around.
Yeah, well, maybe you ought to introduce the fellas to all our listeners out there who might not be familiar with the Cadillac Cowboys. Who's that fellow over there with the guitar around his neck?
Wichita Rankin.
Wichita Rankin. He's one of the best-looking fellas in the whole group there. Gals just all love him. Wichita, you want to say anything on this radio show this morning?
Yeah.
Wichita don't talk all that much.
He's, I noticed.
Wichita mostly gets down to business on the neck of a guitar.
Yeah.
He can really play that Chet Atkins stuff. He's a lot of people say he sounds just like Chet.
He probably had one of them courses through the mail or something. But we've heard an awful lot about Wichita. Wichita, listen, you got your guitar all tuned up and everything, I know, and we've heard a lot about you. Why don't you just crank that thing up and show us how well you can play it, huh?
Well,
come on, you guys, mic on there?
All right, how about stepping up here and mocking Chet Atkins on one we get a lot of requests for?
You're gonna love this, Chet.
Freight train.
Oh.
Let her go, boy. All right, mighty fine.
Well, he did it again, Willis.
You can sing along with it, Jerry, if you want to.
I'd just so not. We've got to get going here. We've got things to do here, and long is about it.
It's almost over. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Lester, we'll be back, y'all, in just a minute. He's got some business he's got to do here.
All right, that's a lot. You call Lester Rodehall Moran.
They want to go back on
the
radio.
The Cadillac Cowboys. Well, that's what we're here for. We're going to put them on here and then wrap this thing up and get it over with.
That's right. Well, wait, no, I told them they could have a whole hour.
Oh, no. You can't do that. We've got things scheduled.
Yeah, I'm going to have
Eagle
all over
everything.
My face because I told them they could have a whole hour. Well, all right, let's get right on with it. And if your boy's ready and then we're going to go back on radio here for just a few minutes.
All right, mighty fine.
Okay, y'all keep it clean now.
Okay.
Lester, who's all them other fellas in there with you?
This here's Red and this here's Wesley.
Hi.
They've been with me a couple years now.
Well, do they ever get to talk very much on the radio, Lester?
Oh, yeah, them boys talk a lot. You ought to hear them on the bus. Just not long ago, we bought us a bus and reconverted it into a touring bus.
A what?
A touring bus.
A touring bus. Oh, yeah. That microphone sounds noisy in there.
He's not using it right. He's not supposed to stand like that.
Well, Lester, I'll tell you what. Why don't we hear another song here, because we ain't got too much time. What y'all want to do for us now?
Time to get Red and Wesley up here, young country singers. They got a brand new song they got picked out this morning. What you got picked out for us this morning?
Well, Roadhog, here's a new one that we worked up for the show today.
What is it, son?
He's Gonna Have to Go.
He's Gonna Have to Go.
Oh, boy,
right, that's
one of my, favorite songs.
This ain't good.
Oh, it's terrific. You'll be humming this all day long.
Oh, yeah. Your sweet lips are the closer to the cowbone.
Is that the right
Let's
tune?
Pretend that we're
Which one?
Here at home.
Hey, Colin.
Yeah.
Is there any way to get out of this? Oh, I don't know. Maybe we can borrow their touring bus.
You disc jockeys always talking over records. Let them sing.
Over there with you.
Oh, boy, I like that one. That's good.
All right, mighty fine. Mighty fine.
Lester, let me ask you just a couple more questions real quick here, all right? Let's see. I had a couple of them written down here. Do y'all play many engagements?
We work about every weekend, Ralph. There around New Year's, we work three nights one week. Keeps you jumping.
Yeah, I bet it does.
Most usually, I get home and even swat. Ruby Lee, that's my wife. She's got my clothes hung out there ready to go.
Yeah, well.
We've been over Hogan County a couple times in Wichita.
Yeah.
I think that's 30 miles, ain't it?
Yeah.
Lester, listen, y'all charge much when you go out and do appearances in public and everything?
Oh, yes and no. We most usually work.
What happened to the microphone there? I don't know. My goodness.
Thank goodness. I think I went out. Wait a minute. We'll get an engineer in
here. We fly more people from an
exclusive invitation to the world of Sid and Marty Croft in just a few minutes, so stand by for that. And Willis, what do you have in your little hand now?
I have right here, friends and neighbors, another letter from my mama that I'd like to share with everybody if you feel like you can stand it.
Okay, well, I can stand.
Okay. Here he goes, ready? All right. Hey, would you, okay, he's going to fix that down the hall.
Something's beeping in there.
The letter says, Dear son, I had a few minutes before the soap operas start, so I thought I'd write a letter to my favorite son. By the way, do you remember his address? Ha ha. She's real wit.
Yeah, she's a natural wit.
Your daddy's weird nephew come by the house the other day to tell us all about his vacation. Did I ever tell you how cheap Elmo is? When he left on vacation, he took a clean shirt and a $50 bill. When he come back home, he hadn't changed either one of them. Your daddy is mad again. One of them soul-saving ladies come by the front door the other day and started talking about religion. She noticed a jug of moonshine sitting on the coffee table. She told your daddy, "Don't you know whiskey has killed more men than bullets?" He said, "Well, I'd much rather be filled with whiskey than bullets." We're planning to sell watermelons again this year by the side of the road, but we don't want to make the same mistakes as last time. You remember last year we bought watermelons for $1 a piece and sold them for $1 a piece. Naturally, we didn't make hardly no money at all. This year, we plan to use a bigger truck. Do you remember?
No good.
Do you remember? Wait a minute. Don't laugh at my mama. All right. Do you remember Sarah Elmore?
Oh, yeah.
Well, sure.
Oh, yeah.
She just got married again for the 14th time. But it didn't work out. She had been married so many times that by mistake she married a man she had already been hitched up with once before and didn't even know it. Everything was going fine till she recognized her mother-in-law. Well, there's not too much going on, so I'll let you go back to whatever it was you was doing before you opened this letter. I hope it was something your mama would have been proud of. Love, Mama.
How come those never get lost in the mail?
Now is
the... It was out in July. That's not the same thing, is it?
How hot was it, Willis?
How hot was it? Well, it was so hot you could fry an egg just about any old place out there. I don't have a funny life. I didn't know you was going to ask me that. How hot was it?
Well, you never know about what I'm going to do, Willis.
You're talking about hauling oats?
Yeah. I noticed Dave Collin in there feeling his cereal. You know, feeling his... well, let's see.
Moving right along here. You know, something's been bugging me for days.
What?
That's a word I picked up from Jerry McKay, bugging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And something's been on my mind for long. Maybe you can help me out here, Dave. You listening, Dave? Maybe you can help me out. Something's been on my mind. Why is it the speed limit signs is in uneven numbers, and your speedometer is in even numbers? You got signs saying 25, 35, 45, 55, and your speedometer says 20, 30, 40, 50. Why is that? He ain't got his microphone.
He doesn't know anything. Well, it's no accident.
Well, I know it's not an accident.
He doesn't know anything. I was going to nail him on that other thing he said about me. I'd have got it.
Well, let's don't.
He knows.
Let's not quibble, man. Willis the Guard's going to be appearing this afternoon. He's going to be appearing. He's not here this morning.
He's not going to let me.
This is a tape. But he's going to be at Franklin Music, Perimeter Mall, 4:30 p.m., singing for an Outlaw's mural. What does that mean?
It's a big, huge sign, big poster thing they got out there, and folks could sign up for it or something. I don't know. But I want to go out there and help them out, you know, and maybe sign some autographs and things.
Listen to Colin in there, pecking away.
That's Perimeter Mall out at Frank Muth out there.
If you're going to peck away, get a typewriter.
And tonight I'll be at your Mater Inn out at Six Flags.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow I'm going to be out all over the place.
Where are you going?
You're
going to get hit by a car.
Rocking Chair Marathon out at Marketplace off I-75 South, be out there about 11:30. Then Rider Technical Training School at 1 o'clock. Then back at the Marketplace 4:30. Then Sunday out with the Bikeathon folks and Lieutenant Gunner Zell Miller, a good friend of mine. And then Sunday night I'm going to be appearing at home at the dinner table.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we'll all be there. What are we having?
Fried chicken.
Grits and slits. Frampton. Just play with the Junior Samples Orchestra. Symphonic band.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, okay.
I noticed when you drink your coffee, you don't saucer and blow it.
I don't do what?
Why don't you do that?
I don't do what?
Saucer and blow.
Let me look over here.
See, you just take some of it and, well, wait, I'll show you here. You just take some of it and when it's real hot, you just pour it in your saucer there a little bit, see? And then you go, you blow it a little bit, kind of cool it off, and it's real good.
That's real messy. You're getting all over the console here with some of that stuff, Willis. Willis! Don't spill that all over there. Gary McKee gets back here Thursday morning with Ben Gunn and the birthday duck. He's going to have a fit about that.
If you just can't remember...
It's until 8 o'clock now with Gary Lee Corey and Willis Agard here for Gary McKee. He's supposed to be back tomorrow if he isn't lost somewhere in Hackensack or other environs. Willis?
He's probably in what's called one of them holding patterns.
Yeah, somewhere. That's probably it. Probably looking for a place to collapse.
Probably, yeah. My God. Did you hear me talking to Mr. Crowley a while ago in the newsroom there about this friend of mine?
Uh-huh.
He ain't got too much sense. Yesterday, he had had some trouble with his driver's license. He lost his wallet and everything, you know, lost, so he had to go down and get another one. Now, he's up home there at the courthouse, and he went down to the place to get his new license and all, and it was real crowded down there, so he got in the wrong line by mistake, see? Yeah. Now he's the only guy in the county married to a Buick.
We'll give you half of a laugh on that one, Willis.
Right,
okay, thanks.
I knew it was you. There's that persistent laugh and that effervescent chuckle of the Reverend Billy Graham Cracker.
Hadamati!
Gary's back again.
I feel so good today.
So good. Right here.
Lordy.
The Reverend Billy Graham Cracker is back again.
It's good to talk to you, Reverend Graham Cracker.
Oh, hold on a second.
Yeah.
My wife's acting up again.
Mm-hmm.
Clemmy! Clemmy! You come back here! Don't you do today what you did yesterday?
What was that?
Oh, Gary, she has this. She's perverted.
Yeah, okay.
Real perverted.
Mm-hmm.
She puts mouse traps on her ears and goes and cusses out small children. Weird sense of humor, son.
8 o'clock with Gary McKee. 53 degrees.
Well, that was
degrees.
A nice song,
wasn't it? That a nice song, yeah.
Hey, some of these songs, you just sit there and you just don't want to say nothing. Just listen to them.
I don't really like to compliment you that much because you're complimented so much on the outside anyway, but you're a very good dancer. You really are.
Well, I practiced an awful lot. See,
you're
I really
stern
do.
And you lead well, and you look very graceful on the dance floor.
Well, thank you very much. Do I get any kind of prize?
No.
Well,
not at all.
Oh, that reminds me. Before I forget it, Lulu said to tell you, hey.
Your wife?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She, missed you too, like everybody out there while he's on vacation. Said, tell you, she said, hey, hope you had a nice time and all that stuff. Didn't spend all your money and everything.
Is she a little overweight still, or is she working?
Oh, my goodness. You ain't seen her in about 6 weeks, have you?
No, I haven't seen her for a while.
Yeah, she may be a little chubbier now than she's ever been.
Sounds like you're getting ready for a rash of them here.
Keeps trying them diets, and none of them just works. You know, mm-hmm. I keep telling her if it don't go in, it don't go on. But she just keeps on eating. You know, just keeps on eating. But yeah. She is.
Well, how
she is
fat?
Really
how fat is she?
How fat?
Yeah.
I'm glad you asked me that question. He asked me how fat she is, Dave. Did you hear that? She's almost as fat as her sister.
Oh, how fat is her sister?
I'll give you an idea how fat her sister is.
Okay.
When she had her last baby, after she had the baby, they took her maternity dress, and they use it now when they go camping, just for a test. But Lulu, very few folks know this, but when she was a lady growing up and everything, she decided she'd be in show business, you know?
Yeah.
So up home, she used to enter all these contests where she could dance, get up on stage and everything.
Yeah,
you know? And she was a real big success, you know, because everybody used to laugh and cheer and everything when she walked off stage. Matter of fact, every time she'd leave a stage, she started her own applause.
With us today is Selwyn Sirkin.
And once again, we remind you that midnight tonight, less than 17 hours from now, the deadline for handing in your Howard Hughes will.
That's Jerry,
tonight, at midnight.
At midnight's deadline. Mm-hmm. I just now finished mine.
You just got yours finished. Well, let's check it for authenticity.
All right,
me being of sound mind and a close personal friend of a former notary public. Yes, it is authentic.
How'd you determine that?
I looked at it.
Oh, okay.
So read...
You want
Howard Hughes
it?
Will, yes.
All right.
Okay.
It's dated in Las Vegas, Nevada, so it looked real.
1967.
Yeah, that's right.
I got that,
It reads, I, Howard Rufus Hughes, Sr., lots of folks don't know his middle name is Rufus.
Yes, Rufus,
being of sound mind and body, do hereby set forth this, my final will and testament. Being the kind, lovable, humanitarian that I am and always have been, I leave exactly one half of my hard-gained fabulous fortune to one of my greatest admirers, Gary McKee, so that he may be finally able to purchase that broadcasting school in Kentucky and give him a F in radio talk. The remainder of my fortune I leave to Dave Crowley, Jerry Corey, and my very close personal friend, Mr. Willis Caswell, the guard, sir. Dave, I know, will enjoy the use of this money. Now he will be able not only to have his own church, but will be able to pay people to come listen to him preach. To Willis, I leave the entire Hughes Tool Company, so that he may finally be able to fix all them old cars of his, and that he may never be without a screwdriver. And to Jerry Corey, another good friend of mine, I leave another horse.
The Howard Hughes will. The authentic Howard Hughes will. the only one you should believe.
That's for real.
Official.
Yeah, that was the official word.
Position
on it.
From the martyr people.
Yep, and some of the news media fellas fell for that.
They did?
Yeah, oh yeah, hook, line, and sinker, boy.
Yeah.
They fell for it.
If you haven't heard, surely you have by now, but very strong rumors going around Atlanta that the MARTA engineers have discovered an incredible treasure of gold from the Confederate treasury.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
During their digging. And now they've released word that it is fool's gold.
Yeah, well, I have it on good authority. That was planted there, probably. Yeah.
So but first off, if it's fool's gold, why is the tunnel sealed, and why is it guarded for fool's gold?
You know, that's a good point there. That's a real good point.
You know where the tunnel is, the entrance to the tunnel.
Oh, exactly. I'm sure I know where it is.
I wonder if we could get down there maybe this afternoon.
We could probably put on some hard hats and just mingle in with all the boys down there. They wouldn't know
the
difference.
That might be kind of a fun thing. We have take a Polaroid camera, maybe take some shots of that.
I don't have no Polaroid camera.
Well, I've got a Polaroid camera.
You have one?
Oh, I've been into that for a long time.
You have one?
Yeah.
One of them things you don't have to send to the drugstore?
No. You just snap the picture and it develops right before your very eyes.
Well, what do they think of next? They'll probably come out with electric toothbrushes or something.
But this stuff about the discovery being fool's gold in the MARTA tunnel is poppycock and strawberries. We don't go with that.
Don't be fooled by that.
Don't be fooled. It is gold from the Confederate States of America, the CSA Treasury. An estimated $8 million worth of it back then.
Oh, yeah, there's just no telling what it's worth today.
What would you estimate, Dave? $31 million worth of...
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Wait a minute.
Dave, you see,
I don't want you
exactly
to think I'm not a believer, but I'm not a believer.
You don't believe the story. Do you want to go down with us this afternoon? We're going to go to the tunnel that allegedly contains the
See, Dave, just what I'm talking about. Some news media feller just fell for the whole thing.
That's why the people don't find out the true story on these things.
Dave, tell the folks what really happened in the news. Yeah. Forget all that news writing stuff. Tell them what really happened in the
with
news.
With us today is Bill.
Well, good morning, Billy Graham Cracker.
How you doing this morning, son?
I feel so good today.
How good do you feel?
I feel so good today.
I'm
going to feel better tomorrow. You know what we're going to give away tomorrow? $100 to whoever brings us to the tower at the starting point of the 76 raft race at Morgan Falls, the biggest pair of anything. We're going to give them $100 tomorrow. That's the latest contest on the morning show.
Now, Gary, what would you say if Jane Mansfield's daughter showed up?
I would say, here, take the money. But they got to come up and get it, you know.
Hey, Gary.
Yes.
Would you put the phone up under your arm for a second, please?
Yeah, I certainly will. Okay, hold on here. Yeah, all right, we're ready to go. It's under my arm.
Good morning, Atlanta. This is the Reverend Billy Graham Cracker doing the remote from Gary McKee's armpit.
Diamonds from there and
We happen to know that Elvis Presley is in town at this very moment, and he is listening to the show, and I think we should do this now.
We are not to tell where he's staying, though.
No, we won't tell where he's staying, but did you bring the outfits?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
You got a head start on me. You already started putting yours on.
I know. We're going to put on our no outfits at this time.
Let me just get over
The no outfit, while Willis puts his on, too, is a snow outfit with all the S's removed. And it is a no outfit. I just have the pants on. Let me put the top on here.
Well, I got my pants on here. Let me just button up a little bit.
All right.
We're going to have to replace these buttons with zippers so
I can
get in.
I think either those are those little sticky things that stick together.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're ripping. You don't know whether you're ripping your shirt or opening a jacket when you put on. All right.
I have mine on now.
Stick your shirt tail in. You shouldn't have your shirt
tail. Well, they ain't watching.
Well, yeah, but it's still. This is a new studio here, you know.
All right. Okay.
Here stands good old Gary and Will Cigar with our no outfits on.
Yes.
And as we said earlier, we know that that's KNOW. We know that Elvis Presley is listening. All right, you want to do yours first, and I'll take
it. Well, it don't matter to me who starts, but I will if you want me to.
Okay, you go ahead and start. Okay.
Elvis Presley, good morning, friend. No, I don't want no Cadillac.
Hi, Elvis. No, I don't need the Learjet. I appreciate the thought, but no, I don't.
Hello, Aaron. That's his middle name, Aaron. Elvis Aaron. No, I don't need a cabin up in the woods by the beautiful lake with a sailboat. I don't need it. Nope.
Okay. No, thank you, Elvis. I don't need a lifetime supply of lizards and the new graphic fish rod.
No, Elvis, I don't need to go around the world for a second time. No, I don't need to go again.
No, no, Elvis, I don't need the money. Geez, I'm having fun just being alive, so yeah. We don't need that.
Matter of fact, we're getting tired of going back and forth to the bank all the time.
Fine, yeah. Can you think of anything else we don't need from him?
Oh, no, that's just about got all the things I don't need from him.
We'd like to thank you for the new studios, however. These are really nice.
Yes, they are. They're real nice, we want to thank him. Now, we hope you got our card, and it's all right if you don't return the phone calls. Okay, we understand how busy you are.
Tune-ups. We need tune-ups.
Yes, if I need anything, it's probably a tune-up.
A tune-up. Yeah.
Davison's Warehouse.
Mrs. K. in Marietta.
Uh-huh.
She says, "Dear Willis, my daughter is getting married.
Yes.
What should I tell her to do?"
Tell her no matter what anybody says, wear white. Next question.
Our next letter comes from Mr. X in Riverdale.
Yes.
He says, "Dear Mr. Caswell, I am a masochist, but I like to be well-groomed. Do you have a tip for the well-groomed masochist?"
Yes, I do, sir. Put your shorts on a wire hanger and wear them that way. I wonder if he wrote that down.
We got to be serious about this.
I'm serious.
This is affecting people's lives.
I'm serious serious all the time.
Our final letter comes from Mrs. N. of Atlanta. She says, "Dear Mr. Caswell, what should I do if my husband falls asleep while we're making love?"
Oh, that's easy.
All right.
Just ignore him, honey, and keep on eating your apple.
Office building, of which we are a big part on the second floor. The guards here at Tower Place like to go through this formality once a month at the changing of the guards. They don't have a band, a marching band. They ask me if I would play some march music on the radio for them to do their changing of the guards to, which I have prepared to go. And at this time, we're going to switch you downstairs to the mezzanine, the foyer, the main reception area of Tower Place, and the changing of the guard moderator, Willis Caswell, a former security guard. Willis, can you hear me okay down there?
Hello? Tess?
Willis?
Yes.
All right, Jerry.
You
tell those people there that we're ready for the march music for the changing of the guards.
Y'all stand back. I'm on radio. Y'all stand back now. Stand back. All right, Jerry, they're just about ready to start here. You can hit that any time you want to. They all lined up and everything, formation.
Okay, could you sort of describe the scene for us
down
there, if you would, please?
Oh, it's lovely scene, Jerry. If you could see this, you'd never forget it.
Magnificent sight,
huh?
Magnificent
sight. Mm-hmm. They're all lined up now in a row. They just had inspection and everything, and the command officer just looked them over and everything and presented an award this morning to Officer Wambaugh.
To Wambaugh?
Yeah,
what type Officer of award Wambaugh. Did he received?
He got the Carl Malden Shiniest Badge Award.
The Shiny Badge Award.
Right. Lady, get off my court. I'm
all right, if you would tell them I'm ready to play the march music for their changing.
I got ready on.
Here we are.
Oh,
if you would, please, Willis, just describe this magnificent spectacle to us.
They've all stepped off in step here, and now they're marching down the hall. Oops, they just stopped, and they're going single file one at a time to their respective posts. All going to their posts. Now, you might be interested, Jerry. All these uniforms was made by the Roswell High Home Ec Department.
Okay.
Hey, how y'all doing there? Yeah, I'm on the radio here. Me, Willis, on the radio. Oh, boy. Look at that. Would you look at that? That's terrific. Folks, if y'all could see that, you'd never forget it. That's just a beautiful sight here. All the badges and helmets and everything. Mm-hmm. And everybody's all lined up.
Willis, this is Gary upstairs in changing of the guard control. Could you describe, tell us how many members are present for the changing of the guard?
Two. It's two members for the changing of the guard.
Yes, sir.
Two members.
Okay.
Hey, how y'all doing there? Good to see you. Yo, we're upstairs on the radio station.
Willis, this is Gary McKee and changing of the guard control. Are they through yet? Yes.
Before you get up there, I just want to mention that the parking is just about all taken up.
Is it really?
Yes, just
about. The people in Buckhead, the people living around the immediate area of Tower Place, you could go out in front of your houses. You can see these fireworks just as well during the day as night. Willis will explain. Let's go upstairs now to Willis Cigar upstairs. How is it going, Willis? How's the preparation?
Gary, can you hear me all right? Jerry?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay, no wind down here. Everything's going real good. In about 20, 25, oh, maybe 30 minutes from now, we'll have our display all set up here.
You'd say about 20 minutes, something like that?
Yeah,
okay.
About
20 tell the people how they can be able to see these during the day just as well as during the night.
Okay, I tell you, it's a new kind of fireworks, Jerry. It's an incandescent stuff. You can see it in daytime just as well as can.
Okay, have you alerted the airport?
Yes, we alerted everybody at the airport to be on the lookout for all these objects up here.
So the people in the Buckhead area can see the fireworks?
All they got to do is just step out in the front yard, look toward that big, beautiful, tall building. Mm-hmm. You'll see the most spectacular fireworks play you've ever seen in your whole life.
And, of course, those who are out of the area can listen on their radio.
That's right. All right. I'll talk to you later, Jerry.
All right. Thank you.
Gary!
Fireworks display about to get underway here. They are incandescent fireworks, of course, the kind that you can see in the daytime or nighttime. It's a new thing, and, of course, we're the first ones to have it. Willis has come out with these things for us, and it's just really a great thing. We've gone to a great deal of expense to put this thing on for you. We don't want you to miss it. If you're in the Buckhead area, if you live in this area, just go out on your porch or just look up toward this big, beautiful glass building, Tower Place, and you'll be able to see it. Willis and Gary are up on top of the building right now. Willis, of course, is fully licensed and approved to take care of the safety thing as far as this whole big, beautiful thing. You know, you got to be careful about those things. And they're up on top now. McKee's a little bit pale, I understand, because of the height. But let's go up there now and see how it's going. Fellas?
Thank you, Dave. We just saw the first fireworks.
Oh, hey, watch this. Once again, for those of you who cannot see the fireworks, turn your radios up very loud and you'll get the full impact of this magnificent display of fireworks. Move over to the window in the control room, Dave, so you'll be able to see this. Everybody in the Buckhead area, be sure to go outside. This is the Maynard Jackson Salute right here, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a big one.
Yeah, over a ton of fireworks.
Yeah, over a ton in the Maynard Jackson, the red, white, and blue eyes. There we have it. Incredible sight. Here comes a valley of beautiful. We have a lot of people here around the Tower Place. I'd say at least that many, yes. We'd like to thank them for coming out. We've gone to a big expense for them.
Hey, can you see it all right from your man?
One's there.
You got any of them big boomers, fellas? Oh, here comes the one. Oh.
This is just our way of saying happy bicentennial.
That's
a big one.
Happy birthday, really. Merry Christmas, too.
Yes, happy birthday, Merry Christmas. Oh, now there's one of the... There's the new Jimmy Carter firework. That's the peanut clutching a grit firework. there it is.
You know, it was real hard to make that grit. That was made over in Switzerland.
The Jimmy Carter was made in Switzerland, yeah. Here comes the Lester Maddox. There's the chicken leg.
Yep.
The red, white, and blue. And there's the axe.
And American flag.
There's the American flag, yeah. Now we're going to have the grand finale in the Gary McKee Morning Show. Just incredible.
I wish my mama could see this.
Yeah.
She'd be real
I'm sure the people enjoy this incredible display. We're still waiting for the finale. Yes.
You bring the camera?
No.
I thought you was going to bring the camera.
Dave, do you have the camera down there?
Oh, man, I forgot my camera.
Well, this will just have to go down in the photographic minds of people. That's one of the biggest displays of fireworks we've ever created.
Incandescent fireworks and everything.
No, we missed out. Sure did.
Okay.
There we go. This is the finale coming up. And there we are. Happy bicentennial.
Happy
birthday.
Can we start each morning better?
People are waiting for your answers here to their questions concerning their sex and love lives.
I'm just practicing.
All right.
Yes, sir.
A never-ending attempt to satisfy the needs and desires and to solve the problems of our listening audience, the staffed sexual emotional expert, Mr. Willis Caswell.
Yes.
is now ready for more advice to the love worn. Dear Willis.
Yes?
Will you get into the mood of this thing? This is serious.
Okay.
This is serious business.
Well, who is this from?
As you will know from our...
Just from a matter
questions,
of moments.
This is from Mr. P.O. in Smyrna.
Okay.
Mr. Caswell, regardless of how well I dress, how well I comb my hair, or how much I shave, or how much cologne I put on, during lovemaking, my wife still snores. What is your advice?
Well, sir, Mr. P.O., is that
Mr. P.O., Smyrna.
Well, P., I'd advise just ignore and go ahead and finish eating your apple. Next question.
This comes from Mrs. T.S. in Tucker.
Yes.
Mr. Caswell, what do you think about bra burning?
That's from T.S.?
Yeah, Mrs. T.S. in Tucker.
Well, T., what I think about bra burning, I think you ought to only burn your bra if it's very, very dirty.
All right, mighty fine.
Okay.
Well, no, it is working. It is working.
Well, if you want to call me back, you can. I'm still on the sweep here.
All right, listen, we're doing okay.
Okay.
Hi, this is Captain Humble at Captain Humble and Brian at WNOEFM in New Orleans. How you doing, Gary?
I'm just fine. Big fan of yours, Captain Humble.
Thanks so much. Hey, listen, man, we understand that you all are working under a pyramid.
We have a pyramid in our studios here. Yes, we do. It is a big one. It's right above me. It's the sleep pyramid. I would say the base to be about 4 foot square.
4 foot square. Is it built like supposedly the Great Pyramid of Egypt?
It is built the same dimension, the relative dimensions of the Great Pyramid. Yes, it is, yeah, to scale.
Oh, mm-hmm. All right, now my question is, I'm really into pyramid power, and I've been reading a lot of...
Where is Paris? you have to excuse me, we flip off into other things because of the energy under the pyramid is so terrific, your body just wants to go four or five directions at once. Continue on there.
Can you send this a little pyramid water, maybe?
A little pyramid water.
That'd be nice. I understand it's rejuvenating.
Mm-hmm.
And what if you rub it on? What if you rub it on your face? It's supposed to.
It will eliminate pimples overnight. No, now seriously, a lot of people laugh, but if you take some water and set it under a pyramid or on top of the pyramid generator, overnight, the next day, put it on your face. Within hours, every pimple that you have will be gone.
Well, that's good news. Maybe you can mail me some.
Yes, and if you'd like to enhance any herbs that you have around the house, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Incredible. Where is Paris?
Good. My only serious question, Gary.
Yeah, go ahead.
I understand that electricity is an alien force to pyramid cosmic energy, and don't you find some sort of a problem there?
A pyramid doesn't seem to be affected by electricity that I am familiar with. It doesn't deal with that as much as it does cosmic energy. If you are familiar with cosmic energy and the Curlian photography system, you can take a picture of a pyramid with the Curlian camera, and you can see the energy coming out of the top of it. To my knowledge, it's not affected by electricity. Possibly so, but I've not had that experience with it.
You feel pretty mellow? Working under it?
Well, I tell you, I feel stimulated mentally. It's very easy for me to work now. It does stimulate a person. No kidding.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, thanks for being on the program. And if you're ever in New Orleans, pass by and say hey.
Okay.
We'll maybe do a follow-up on this and see how it's working.
Yeah, I slept on a pool table at Pat O'Brien's one night.
East and West.
Nashville last 10 years.
That, by the way, is the album cut.
That's right.
We play the longer version on this show.
Yeah.
Sure.
Hey, America.
I'm going to talk to you about something.
Yes, sir.
I don't mean to.
Any old thing. I'm your buddy. You can ask me any question you want, and I'm here to serve you, boy. Go ahead and ask me.
Don't mean to seem ungrateful, and I don't want you to take this personally.
Wait a minute. Wait, you ain't smiling. Dave's laughing. I smile. We're all happy this morning. What's the matter?
Well, the girl last night that you fixed me up with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
She wasn't all that attractive. You know. Myrna, she wasn't that attractive, and it was a blind date for me.
One of the nicest personalities anybody.
You told me that she was Olivia Newton-John's double.
She is twice as good as Olivia Newton-John hoped to be.
You told me she was Olivia Newton-John's double.
Yep. Well, You
let's take a break and try it again.
Wait a minute.
Told me she was Olivia Newton-John's double.
Well, that's right. She's twice as big and twice as dumb.
You're never going to get it.
Make it happen. Make it happen. Make it happen for you.
Presto is a musical term that means quickly performed, like magic. At Fulton Federal, Presto is the name of our new account that means quick service and savings magic. $5 opens your Presto account, and along with it, you receive a specially encoded Prestige card.